you know, truth in our understanding. We ask one more time that in this service our minds be flooded with light and all eyes will behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke's Gospel 24. Continue our study on understanding Paul's revelation of identification. And we have quite some things today, but then we'll do our best to put it within the time that we have. So Luke's Gospel 24. Now, been following the teaching, you will see that we have been making a case on why, when you hear Bible scholars, profound teachers of God's Word, say that the epistles explain the Old Testament, I think by now that ought to be very, very clear in your mind. Now, Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25. Say, O fools, are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. One more time, we said the word expounded is the word damenu. That is, he went from scripture to scripture. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. So, it shows us again that the scriptures explain itself. That just like Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for explanation, or you say for teaching. Now, do not forget some things we looked at the previous time. We said that his response here had to do with a prior conversation. And that conversation, we can locate it, basically had to do with the fact that they were communing, they were having a conversation over the events. And he said to them, from the scriptures, these things were already prophesied. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that you are discussing and to enter into his glory? So what he did was that he took their experiences, what they were discussing, and gave them that those experiences had been prophesied. So, you don't have to be in Jerusalem to believe those experiences. Are you following what I'm saying? Because they were already spoken ahead of time. And much more vitally, which we pointed out yesterday, I believe, was the fact that the crown of the discussion was what? The resurrection of Jesus. Now, let's now proceed from there. So, he took his own experiences and their own witnesses and explained it to them without their experiences. He used the scriptures to explain itself. Now, let's proceed from there. The next verse, in verse 28, he said, he drew near unto the village and whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is fast spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. Of course, people have assumed this is communion. I don't know, every time they see bread, they assume it's communion. I mean, if not for, Yoruba say, if not that the eyes caught you, they will have said that in John 6 too, what the 5,000 ate was communion. It can be as, you know, bad as how people want to always see what they want to see. But that's beside the point. So when you see, and he took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now the first word there, he said their eyes were opened, is the same word, dianogo. Dianogeo, which is that for the first time they saw him. That's the, don't forget, dianogeo always means the first. For something to be opened for the first time. And not just that, their eyes opened. So that's symbolic. Their eyes were open to see him, and what he was doing for them all along was he was opening the scriptures for them to also see him. Which one came first? Huh? The scriptures. Okay, so it then follows through that their experience of knowing him was built on the experience of understanding him, receiving him from the scriptures. So one led to the other. Is it clear? Is that clear? So two things opened. Firstly, what opened? Their minds, then their eyes. Is that right? Their understanding, first of all, opened, then their eyes. Look at what they said. Verse 32. And they did one to another, did not our heart, that is inside of us, did not our hearts burn, K-I-A-O, burn. You know that's what was used for John, a burning and a shining light, is the word K-I-A-O, used for zeal, eagerness, as he opened towards the scriptures. What he was saying basically was, as he opened the scriptures to them, they wanted to hear more. And that's how true insight in God's word is. One will create a thirst. How did our eyes, our heart not burn as he opened to us the scriptures? So as he did that, the scriptures, as it were, came alive into their understanding. And look at the experience. And he says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found 11 and gathered and made her here. Say, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then, that's 34. So, from that point, Jesus now came to in their midst in verse 36. Then, please follow this well. I want you to listen to what I want to say now so you don't lose sight of what we're talking about. Obviously, this set of guys in MLS, you saw in my life. Okay? So what was astounding to them was the fact that the scriptures could locate their experiences. Right? Am I right? That from the scriptures, they could locate their experiences. So they went to tell folks, you've seen Jesus. Now from verse 35, am I right now? It was not a case of, okay, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. You know, the breaking of bread here is not communion. You know, he broke bread many times. When he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, he also broke bread. You get it? To break bread means to share bread. Is that clear? It's not you think it means to break it into two. To break bread means to take something, then share it amongst people. That's what it means. Now, and that's why when Paul was going to explain the unity of the body of Christ, he said he took the bread, he broke it, and he shared it. Basically, what Paul was teaching was the fact that we are one bread and one body. But we are taking out healing out of what he was saying. And all sorts of supernatural expectations. But basically, that's what Paul was teaching. But we'll see that maybe today or not. Now they saw him. He had risen from the dead. Pay attention. And so in verse 37, they were still terrified and affrighted and suppose that they had seen a spirit, and said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? The question was not that they now knew it was him. You know, now the point was, which him is this? You understand my point? I mean, which him? Is it a ghost? You know, say, somebody died in my village, I saw him in Lagos. So he said, why are you so troubled? Why do you? The thought arising, I said, behold my hands and my feet, for it is I myself. It's me myself. That is, this is not a metaphysical image you are seeing. Handle me and see, for his spirit has no flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were yet, they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, that is, even at that, they still were paused. They paused a bit. He said, have you any meat? Then he gave him a piece of broiled fish. This was a joker. This, if you can do this one, then this is Jesus. And an honeycomb.
He took it and did it before them. Now I want you to observe that he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you.
Now when he says these are the words, what was he referring to? Huh? Come on. What?
His resurrection.
These are the words which I speak unto you
while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning.
You will have wondered that. Two different Bible seminars I've held. One in verse 25 to 27. This is another one. I mean, is this really not where revelation knowledge will emerge from? No. Did you observe that he said, these are the words that I speak to you? But so far in our study, in John 16:12, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you. So, at this point, he's still explaining the things he said to them. Let me see how they're following this. He's still explaining what he had taught in the four Gospels. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets. You know, we said that Jesus spoke from the law. And can you remember? Are you following this? You know, we tracked him with the Old Testament. So, obviously, look up, guys. It means that even up till this point, the details of his resurrection were not made known. Because if he had done that here, then it would mean that whatever I said in John 16 is annulled. Are you there? Pay very good attention. Well, notice this. So, what exactly did he do here? He just affirmed there was no revelation as touching his resurrection. He just affirmed the scriptures in their very eyes. Look, this is our taught in by the law and the prophets. Oh, and then they saw it. But the details of his resurrection, which is the work of the Spirit of truth, wasn't made known here. Go to John 16. What I just said now, is it clear? Is it clear? John 16. Now, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, please pay attention, I will send him to you. Now, what did he say he will do? He said he will convince. I thought we explained that. He will convince. Oftentimes, why people fight over this verse is because they always restrict convince to sin. But he actually says sin, righteousness, and judgment. So if convict there means to make guilty or point out a wrong, then it will be, he will point out a wrong of sin, a wrong of righteousness, and a wrong of judgment. I mean, that looks very ludicrous in reading. Even in speaking, my mouth was shaking. It doesn't make any sense. So he will reveal. Now, do not forget that the job of this revelator will be post-resurrection. Or better still, the post-death experience. So he will reveal righteousness, sin, righteousness, and judgment where? In the resurrection. He will unveil those things. So, he will unveil what is in the resurrection. Hallelujah. He will unveil, you know, the resurrection can also be called eternal life. Can also be called life. So, if you understand that this is the gospel, you will not first of all see it as a cure to sin, even though it is. When it was given to Adam, you won't see it as, but why? Did he need it? He had not sinned. No. That's not the essence of life. Though it's a cure to sin. So follow this. Look at John 16:12 again. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Having when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. Don't forget what he will do. He will take the things that are of mine. And then what? Reveal. Is that correct? Right? And show it. And show it unto you. He will take them and show it. Explain it to you. Make it clear and visible to you. So the question will now be, what is in the resurrection? Obviously, whatever will be found in the resurrection will be found in him. Right? It's not a revelation of who is who in hell. No. It is what is found where? In him. Are you there? So that is why whatever happened in Emmaus and afterwards cannot be this. Let me see if I'm following this. Is it clear? Can't be this. He will show you things. Okay? Now go to John 14. And let's track it a little bit. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So, one of the things he's going to show is the many mansions. Is that clear? Many places. Many places. You know, you can, if you are an intelligent teacher of God's word, I want to be like you. You know, you can, when you say many places, that many places can also represent the many names and things a believer is called. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to expand your mind. Many places in my Father's house. The word oikia. Oikia can be used for a place where you dwell and also can be used for a family. Okay? So, it says, and if I go, I prepare a place for you. And I'll come again and receive you unto myself, for where I am, that is very key, where I am, ye may be also. That's interesting. You know the word there is italicized. So where can be what? Right? Because what's there that makes you look at where? What I am, you may be also. Hallelujah. Are you there? What I am, you may be also. Where I am is not conflicting. But one can just be more explicit. You may be also. So, and these are post-resurrection things. From the things they said after he spoke, it was obvious he needed another comforter. Do you understand? You know? And from the things we are still saying today, of this verse, we really need more comforter. Please forgive me. Then they said, where you go, we don't know. Can you imagine the response they gave? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, you'll have known my Father. And also from henceforth you know him and have seen him. They said, show us the Father. It is sufficient. It suffices. Have I been so long with you and you have not known the Father, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How you see, show us the Father. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Are you there? Let's take verse 11 together. Believe me that I am where? And the Father in me. For very else, believe me So what he was asking them to believe in was identification. Is that clear? Where two persons will be seen as the same. Is that clear? And they are still two persons. So, you know, for clarity of purpose, he now says in 16, he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot be seen because he sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? Now that's a very key preposition. Preposition where? In. So, preposition in is with and shall be in. Preposition in is very key. Is with and shall be in. Is that clear? He is with and shall be in. So, pay attention. The work of the Comforter will be to disclose what is in. Are you there? You'll see that shortly. The next verse, I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Are you seeing the things that are of Christ? He has mentioned mansion. He has mentioned way, truth, and life. He has mentioned places. Are you following this? What else has he mentioned? He has mentioned the Father. In me, I'm in the Father. He has mentioned works. He has mentioned his name. He has mentioned the indwelling. Are you there? He has mentioned with and in. Are you following this? He has mentioned abide with you forever. Those are his things. Okay? So he now says in 19, because I live, you shall live also. That should be clear. Because he said, where I am, or what I am, you may be also. So he says, because I live, you shall. Now mark that. You know, he started by letting them see what? Identification. So, the Father is identified in me. I am identified in the Father. He said, the very same way, you will be identified. So when he says, the Spirit of truth, and he says, will be in, your mind should not go to another person. Are you following me? No, it shouldn't. It says, because I live, you will live also. So, in his resurrection, we must see ourselves. Are you there? You know, don't blame those guys. There's no way they could have seen what he was seeing when he rose from the dead and was talking to them. If I be more, he was around. Imagine me, I'm telling you, I'm saying I'm in you. You just be looking at me and just moving back, you know? I mean, there was one time, one guy was reportedly possessed in Ibadan. And he was being, sorry, I don't know, there was a possession. So someone was casting out the other one, and he said to the caster, the demon said, I am in you too. And the guy began to run. I said, sometimes, one of the things about these deliverance soldiers, they don't even use their brain. How can it be in you too? As what? And the guy began to run. You know? And the demon or whatever overpowered him and beat him up. Anyway, follow this one. And so follow this. At that day, which day now? Which day? The day that the Comforter will be in you. You will now know. Don't create your own. Don't say in the day of the resurrection. Yes. Resurrection, but be specific. Huh? Be specific. What's the day? The day when the Spirit, okay, will be where? What will be identified? What will be the result of the indwelling of the Spirit or the another Comforter is that you will live as I live. Are you there? Uh-huh. Then do not forget, I will not leave you comfortless. Who will come? Huh? Are you following this? So verse 20. At that day you will know that I am where? In my Father. And you where? In me. And I where? In you.
Are you there?
So those are the things of Christ. Those are the things that will be shown to you. It's not saying it will show you your future. It will show you your career. Please don't reduce what he's saying to those kind of things. Don't. So when I say it will show you things to come, you and I are in the things to come. Is that clear? You and I are in the things to come, events. Now, let's look at 16 again, verse 7. So, can we say that the primary work of the Spirit of Truth from this discussion of Jesus will be to reveal our relationship with Christ? Does it make sense? Let me see how you get that. Our relationship with Christ. That's a primary work. Now, in verse 7, John 16, I tell you the truth. Now calm down your mind. I want you to see something. Calm down your mind. Don't rush forward. Don't go backward. Just be cool. So that this will make sense to you. I tell you the truth, it's expedient. The word expedient is the word sompero. A key word. Please listen to this. Sompero is a key word that is used for advantage. Is expedient for who? Huh? For who? That is, he's talking to the church or his folks. That I go away. Look at that word, expedient. Acts 20:20. But before we go to that one, look at John 11:50 and John 18:14. John 11:50. Now consider it expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. John 18:14. I read John 11:50 now. Now John 18:14. It's expedient that one man should die for the people. Okay? Die for. So it's the word is used as an advantage. You become a recipient. Pay attention. In Acts 20:20, Paul says, I did not take back anything that was profitable. It's the word from Pharaoh, expedient, profitable. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful, not all things are expedient. 1 Corinthians 7:15 was used as well. 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 33. 10:23 and 33. The word is used. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for advantage. That word profit without is the word sompero, for your benefit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And Hebrews 12:10. Hebrews 12:10 was what he was talking about, correction, that is for your benefit. So, I want you to listen very well. This is important. Jesus says, it is for your benefit that I go away. Now, please listen. If you were sleeping before, wake up. That I go away. Now, when he said, I go away, was he coming back? Ah. Eh? Okay. Calm your mind down. Was he coming back? Eh? So, the going away will be what? He said, it is your, if Jesus is explaining that I go away, for it's for your purpose that I go away. And then he says, I'll come to you. That means the going away is a figure of speech. Listen, oh. Now look at this. Okay. It will come unto, the comfort will come unto you, and if I depart, I will send him unto you. Please listen. We have sorted out the weak is with you. Now when he said he is with you, was he talking about a third party? Huh? No. Was talking about himself. So if it's your, it's of your advantage that I go away. So if you were to explain that and use your own words, you say that I go and then come back. Because the advantage is for him to come back. So that going away is relative. Are you listening? It's not Old Testament dispensation of the Father. Four Gospels, no less be sounding like funny people. Of the Son. That he has finished his own work. So he's given the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. When he told you he's coming back, not rapture. He said, where I am, there, or what I am, that you will be also. So it is needful for you that I go away. Is it go away from the earth? Or what? Because he's still in the earth. Ah. We have been together now. Uh-huh. So, note that. So when he showed up, and he showed up, Jesus Christ. Okay. When he showed up in Luke 24, and he was talking to those guys, was he in them? Was he in them? Can I read this version of? Was he in them? Okay. Maybe that is a bit tough. When Stephen saw him in a vision, was he in Stephen? So what is your problem? What is your problem? Huh? When Paul saw him, was he in the church? Oh. So when he was sharing with them in Luke 24, okay, was he in them? I didn't give an answer, but I just cleared an audio for you. Was he in them? Okay. Let's move further. At least you have something to think about. Uh-huh. So go to Acts 26. You know, no amount of playing with Jesus can take the place of revelation. You play with him, you go out on a date. That's not the revelation.
Hallelujah. Acts 26. So there, I like that part. Date. You want to marry him? I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. Why should he leave you alone? To open, I think we looked at it yesterday, to open their eyes, can you remember that? To turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is where? In me. Now what he said in me, that's his resurrection, right? Okay. So look at Galatians 1, 16. We're looking at Paul's revelation now, we're getting close. Galatians 1:16. He says to reveal his son where? Where? That I might preach him among the heathen, neither I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now look at 12. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So where is that revelation? Huh? The first one is revelation in the scriptures. And that revelation of the scriptures will reveal Christ where? In the Old Testament. And that revelation means what? There must be a fact of the revelation. What's the fact? Jesus stopped at his physical resurrection. But was that everything? No. What does that revelation, what does it bring out? The Son in me. Are you getting this? So, okay, let's make progress. So, there are three key terms in Paul's revelation, and we're going to see them. We'll just run through them briefly. Quite some words. Write this down, it's important. That, did you discover that the revelation of the Bible is revelation of words. Words. We know by words. That's why Paul would say, with the Holy Ghost, the words with the Holy Ghost teacheth. Words. So, write that down somewhere. So the key term in Paul's doctrine will be wisdom. We'll look at that. Peter calls it wisdom. 2 Peter 3:15. Which is insight. Please follow this. Insight. And that insight is revelation. The Greek word, apokalupsis. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-S. Apokalupsis. The four gospels is not revelation. Though revelation was taught there, but the four gospels is not revelation. Saying that Jesus was crucified is a historical fact. What will be revelation is what is in that crucifixion. What it means. Do you understand? Let me see how they're following this. So, acting drama and putting cross, you are just being a historian. It is the fact. For example, let's jump. Let's go to the back of the textbook and say, imagine being at that cross and say, I am crucified with Christ. And your mother was there.
hot water. Cook, 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 cook. Do you understand? Whereas you can write it down that, oh, Jesus was in the tree. Yeah, about 10 feet. That's historical. But the revelation is the old man. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That is revelation. The meaning. What is uncovered. So, you don't have to be, in fact, the more you are there, you know, the more they kept seeing Jesus. It's not easy. The more they will say, in me. You know, in me. In me. I mean, imagine if someone tells you, if your dad is passed on, and someone tells you, your dad is in you. You know, it doesn't make any kind of sense. It's your father that will be in you. You think it's a curse. So, I went to the back of the book. So let's come back to the beginning of the book. So, revelation will be a key word in the writing of a man that was not there. Okay? Now, you know, Peter had already told us. Look at Peter. Before I go there, look at Luke 2, Revelation, Apocalypse. I like to read this part. This is Simeon, the prophet. For my eyes, verse 30, have seen thy salvation. I mean, how can you say that? A man sees a baby, he has seen salvation. Hallelujah. That means she interpreted the child. I've seen salvation. He called a boy his Lord. You know, you say, he's getting old, so I understand. Are you there? Which you are prepared for a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That prophecy has some bias, but let me leave it. Don't mind me. I'm just being naughty. So lighten is the word revelation. To reveal. So, can you see the Pauline gospel there? Apocalypse. The Gentiles. Follow this. In 1 Peter, let's talk about Peter quickly. Peter said something. In 1 Peter 1. Right. Verse 7. It says, honor, glory are the appearing, that's the word apocalypse, of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 13, it mentioned at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to see something. In chapter 4, verse 13. When his glory shall be revealed. Now, notice something. For Peter, he looked at the full disclosure of Jesus. He used revelation much more. Peter used revelation much more for the appearing of Jesus. And what we call the rapture. Are you following me? And you can understand why. But look at Paul. Paul used that word. Apocalypse. More than any other person. In Romans 8:19,
the revealing of sons. The same thing Peter was saying. Peter would say Jesus. He said sons. Both us and him. In Romans 16:25, he calls the gospel the revelation of the Old Testament. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Romans 16:25. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, he mentions the appearing of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 14:6, he used that in the gifts of the Spirit, which you can call revelation gifts. And 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, everybody has a revelation. That's gifts of the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 12:1, again, gifts of the Spirit. In Galatians 2:2, gifts of the Spirit. To open a fact to you. But in Galatians 1:12, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we read it earlier on in verse 16. To reveal his son where? You. Now go to Ephesians 1. Verse 17. The spirit of wisdom. Which is revelation. Okay? In the knowledge of him. The knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In Ephesians 3:3. Okay, there's 2 Thessalonians 1:7. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Just, we'll leave that. But look at Ephesians 3:3. Ephesians 1:7 is about the revealing of Jesus at the end time again. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery which I wrote aforetime. So, look at this. The word apokalyptos, which is where you get apocalypsis from, means to bring to light. It means something that was there, but you now put light on it. You open it up to be seen. So the opposite of that will be what? Mystery. Are we right? Are we correct? Okay. Will be mystery. Which Jesus himself used in Matthew 13:11 in the parable of the sower. I hope you haven't forgotten that. Have you forgotten that? Huh? Mark 4:11 and Luke 8:10. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In Romans 11:25, Paul used it also, of the gospel. In Romans 16:25, the word mystery. Romans 11:25. Romans 16:25. 1 Corinthians 2:1, declaring unto you the mystery of God. So, please look at this. That means, every time he used word mystery, he was referring to what? Huh? Okay, he was preaching from where? The Old Testament. So, apocalypsis in Paul's letters, we'll be talking about explaining the Old Testament. Does it make sense? Okay. So, he explains the Old Testament, he calls it the gospel. Romans 11:25, Romans 16:25, 1 Corinthians 2:1, okay? 1 Corinthians 2:7. So when it says declaring unto you the mystery of God, that means I'm revealing it unto you. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Even the hidden wisdom. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He calls tongues mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. I show you a mystery. That is, a change of the physical body from mortality to immortality. Ephesians 1:9, the mystery of the Old Testament again. Let's look at that Ephesians. I think I'm particular about Ephesians. Ephesians 1:9, made known unto you the mystery of his will. So where is that mystery found? Huh?
in the Old Testament. Ephesians 3, right 3, the mystery, which I wrote out for in few words. 3:4, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So what we call the mystery of Christ is where? Don't ever call the Ephesians mystery. The Old Testament, because they use the Old Testament to teach. So those books will be a mystery. Who opens the books? Jesus. So Jesus is the revelation. You know, we're saying about tongues, that if there's a mystery, and you know, you call the person mad, is he drunk? Or you just misunderstand what he's saying? It must be explained for it to make meaning to you. Ephesians 3:4. Then 3:9. Let's read 3:9 together. To make, everybody, 3:9, let's go. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the world. So when he says, he created all things by Jesus Christ, please don't go and look at cow and goat. No. Hallelujah. Are you there? He's talking about spiritual realities. Yesterday we said it now. All things were made by him. Now he's not talking about he made the moon and stars. No. I was talking about life, which is the light of men. You know, in that life, we have things. Hallelujah. Not that we made this one. Whatever was made by Christ is eternal. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Is it okay? So let's see. So you cannot explain Adam. You know, you can say Adam now. Adam sin. It's not fornication, it's not adultery, it's not lying, it's not stealing. Is it clear? Can you see what was the wisdom of God from the beginning? Okay, let's take that verse 9 again together. What is the mystery of the mystery? Which from the beginning of the world had been hid, who created? Now read that into verse 10. It makes a lot of sense. To the intent that now unto the principalities and power in the heavenlies might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ our Lord. It's only found where? In him. Hallelujah. You see that sense in Christ. That's new creation realities. You are lost. All of God's wisdom is in new creation realities. What you have called new creation realities. It's not just realities. It's not new creation realities of a man making boasts in the earth is the realities of God himself, who has been known to be breathing thunder like some go, known, and then we now found him a man like God. I think we looked at that yesterday, right? I hope you grab the hold of that well. Did you? You should. If you don't, just pray the Pauline prayer. That's why I say you should pray. I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. I mean, if you can see, if the Peter can see, say some things for this, they will have to be honest. You think that was just joking? You know? Praise God. Verse. Okay, chapter 5. Beauty. Why are you teaching husband and wife or mother and and you do a series. You were naked. That means you should be transparent. Shall a man leave his father and mother? That means you leave your father's home. And you are doing series on that. You're a woman. A woman is a man with a womb. And they Paul says, you know, when he was talking about husband, love your wives, wives submit, you know, he taught it as Christ and the church. I mean, you know, those younger Moses in Christ and the church. Where is he coming from? So when Jesus was telling them that in the beginning was not so, you know, look at it. Verse 30, for we are members of his body.
of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man, so he quotes the Old Testament. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined, shall be joined with his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Look at where this was said. Before man sinned. So you can see Adam sin. You still can't see it. Ah. Okay. I speak concerning who? Christ and the church. So, Christ and the church preceded Adam's sin. Is that not it? But we have done series on Eve, the mother of all creation. Misinterpreting tongues. So when the girl says, nevertheless, like, okay, let's leave that. Let everyone in particular love his wife as himself. Nevertheless. So, in that union, we find Christ and the church. You know, both of them, Adam and Eve, are called what? Man. Just one. They're just one creation. They are the same. Distinguished personalities, okay, but the same person. The same substance. So is Christ and his church. Amen. Okay? Okay, listen. Ephesians 6:19. To make known the mystery of the gospel. So where is the mystery of the gospel? Where is the gospel a mystery? Huh? You know, I told you, don't always think gospel is talking to an unbeliever. Gospel is what we are doing now. Is this not good news to you? All right now. Don't say, I want to teach the gospel. Ah, there are some guys down the road. They smoke hemp. But the point is that you think the gospel is, years back we used to travel, you know, so they used to ask us, what is your message? You say the gospel. So what is your message? Your message. You say the gospel. Say, this is a church. What is your message? Like, wisdom, faith, anointing, prosperity, poverty, holiness. What is your message? Otherwise, I said, and tell them Christ. Say Christ, yes. What about Christ? Hallelujah. Remember, a guy said, some people have come, oh. Yeah, this is very well. It was on campus. Say, some people have come in this campus now. They say they are new creation. The guy is a pastor. Say they are preaching Christ, Christ, Christ. Is that everything in the Bible? Christ, Christ, Christ. You don't doubt that. This man, I think it's all like just breezed through your mind. No. You had a foretaste. No. What? Gosh, how did you manage to utter such damnable words? Those are damnable words. They are not words fit. They're not even fit for the Gentiles. How can you say that? And some people, they are just Christ, 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 Christ. See, it's Christ, Christ. Is it Christ alone? Some say, what about the God the Father? What about the Holy Spirit? And this one, who pray the polite prayer again? It's Jabez prayer that will pray. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages, that's the Old Testament, and from the generations, but now is made manifest to who? To his saints. Let's take 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is. So, by the time we dig the revelation of Christ further, we will see Christ. They will now see you. You know, we say, the first point, you're just like you're digging something. You're digging.
Christ. Which is that you now see? Are you following? Colossians 2:2. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 4:3. To speak the mystery of Christ. So the mystery of God is the mystery of who? Huh? Wait. The mystery of God is the mystery of who? The mystery of God is the mystery of. And the mystery of Christ is Christ in you. Did you notice that? The revelation of God in the earth is restricted to man. You know, we say, he that has seen Jesus has seen the Father. He now went further. He's now, the Father now makes home where? In us. So we reveal God. That's the revelation of Paul. We reveal God. Paul never taught God in the distance. No. He never did. He taught God indwelling. Amen. Okay. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, that's talking about the end time again. 1 Timothy 3. Some of the things here will be on Sunday, from what I see, but I'll just repeat them on Sunday. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 6. Verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Why did he say that? Because those who held it without a pure conscience, those who use it to teach the law. So he's now saying, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure consciousness. Where is the pure consciousness from? Christ Jesus. Is the pure consciousness of the Old Testament. The mystery of the faith is where? The Old Testament. So, how do you have a pure consciousness? When you see Christ in it. Is that clear? 1 Timothy 3:16. It makes sense now. Great is the mystery of godliness. That is to approach God. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world and received up in glory. They find Revelation 1:20, just the word apocalypse. So what is the result of this revelation? When this revelation is unfolded, the result is called epignosis. That's why it's called revelation knowledge. I don't know, just not taking Bible and just saying, I say, I can't see. I can't see. I say, let me just. How can they hear without a preacher? If God is going to bless you, brethren, he will send a preacher. How can they say, I saw that. See, you are confused. Revelation knowledge is the knowledge of Christ. And in the knowledge of Christ is the knowledge of you and I. That is revelation knowledge. And by the time we see ourselves, you know what we see? We now see him as he is. We now know God. Hallelujah. Look at this. So, the result of this will be epignosis. I'm going to do more of this on Sunday, but let's just run through that. Epignosis is used by Paul. Now, the entire epistle has the word epignosis 20 times. And only Paul expected it 15 times. Outside Paul, we have it in 2 Peter 1:2, 2 Peter 1:3, 2 Peter 1:8. That makes 3 times. Then 2 Peter 2:20. That makes it 4 times. And Hebrews 10:26. 2 Peter 1:2, 2 Peter 1:3, 2 Peter 1:8, 2 Peter 2:20, and Hebrews 10:26. Paul, Romans 1:28. Romans 3:20 for the law. Romans 10:2. They have zeal, but not according to epignosis. and their zeal was after the law. He says, look, the epignosis of the law, the Old Testament, is to see righteousness through faith in Christ. Ephesians 1:17, Paul's prayer, the knowledge of Him. Let's look at Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:11 says, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God. Epignosis of the Son of God. Notice that when we have that epignosis, said then we are no more babes. So the effect is on who? Us. Philippians 1:9. Colossians 1:9 and 10. I'm going to go into this on Sunday anyway. Colossians 1:9 and 10. Colossians 2:2. Colossians 3:10. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the epignosis of the truth? 2 Timothy 2:25. Acknowledgement of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. Never ever learning, but never coming to the epignosis of the truth. Titus 1:1. Knowledge or epignosis of God. Philemon 6. That the communication of thy faith become effectual by the acknowledgement. That's the word epignosis. Of everything which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So, can we say, look up please. Where is epignosis? Is in your hands. Epignosis is the epistles of Paul. Is it clear? Where is the mystery? It's in your hands. Where is the revelation? It's in your hands. Where is the epignosis? It's in your hands. So in this book, you have mystery, revelation, and the epignosis. The revelation is revelation of who? Jesus. The epignosis will not be the details. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Shall I go over that? Where is the mystery? The Old Testament. Where is the revelation? The epistles. Who is the revelation? Jesus. He is the one that brings light to the Old Testament for you. And in that revelation, what do you find? Epignosis. The details. The things that are mine and show it unto you. Does it make sense? So, when we ask for epignosis, it's not something that you sit down somewhere and begin to ramble your head. Epignosis is right in your hands. The same way the mystery was in your hands, or is still in your hands, the epignosis is right there in your hands. Amen. Are we on the same page? Can we go further? So, you can see why it's important for a believer not to deviate from what is written. Right? Does it make sense? So, look at John 14, verse 2 to 3. He said, where I am, there you may be also. That is important in what? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Okay? Believe in God, believe also in me. If we're going to look at the order of events, that would be what? Revelation. Jesus. Where we have revelation, we see Jesus. He opens up the space. And what we see in it will be our union with Him. Is that clear? So where I am, there you may be also. So he now begins to, you know, from that point, in John 14, he was not relating us. Me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's not talking about coming. He's talking about union. Okay? That union with the Father is union with Jesus. He's not talking about a signboard way. No. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. That's even worse. So, he now says, in that day you will know that I am in you, I am in the Father is in me, and I am where? In you. So, when he said, you will know, or you will see, is that see by sight, or he's talking about revelation? Revelation knowledge. Let's put it together. Revelation knowledge. If it's revelation, we see Jesus. If it's knowledge, we see in Jesus. Is that clear? We see in him. Precisely. So, his best words are in John 15. I am the vine. I'm the true vine. Verse 1. My Father is the husbandman. Then he said, I am the vine. You are the branches. How else do you want it? Hallelujah. How else do you want it? That is, you know, it's just saying the same thing. I am the vine. You are the branches. People are saying, the branch that you take away. If the branch does not do this, the Father, I think I explained that to you in that fruitfulness. The Father is not plasma. He is the husbandman. He is the one that planted it. The husbandman is the farmer. Amen. So we are the handiwork of the Father. The same way Jesus is. So if you are not bearing fruit, he will take care of you. Hallelujah. Is that clear? He didn't say, my Father is watching. He's watching. Hallelujah. Follow this, I've explained this before. So the key word in this revelation, knowledge, will be I-N, in, right? In. We must always be found where? In. Because that is the revelation knowledge. You know, it's so funny how Paul, you know, I looked at his language and I said, if you are not careful, you will misunderstand him. He says, I couldn't speak unto you, this is not, I'll speak on Sunday as well. I couldn't speak unto tomorrow. I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as a cadre, as unto babes, he now said, in Christ. Paul. He knows a believer is not a babe. So in using a figure of speech, he still has to teach identification from your carnality. He still found that carnal man. Where? In Christ. Amen. As, you know, he uses the word as, which is likened to. Because he can't use exact words. That would be heretic. Are you there? Do you understand? Is it clear? So, look at an example of the word in, what it does. Tomorrow morning we'll look at something where if we remove the prepositions, you'll see how the Bible will look like. So the key is in the preposition. You know, the prepositions have helped us see. Remove them. It doesn't make sense. In, with, right? Where you are in is where you are in. There's nothing to say again. If you are in, you're in. You are in. So look at this. If any man be in Christ, the next thing he says, a new creature. You know the word is italicized. A new creature. Because there's no other way he can call in but a new species. So, the word in will be accompanied by adjectives or pronouns because a proposition must be a relationship between two nouns. There must be an adjective in noun or a pronoun. Where am I? I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Because if you say in Christ, does it make sense? Say, hallelujah, in Christ. What is in Christ? Am I making sense? In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. What is in Christ? I am in Christ. So, the revelation or the knowledge is in the prepositions. So when it says, in whom, it has to be we have. Hallelujah. So when it says, he will take my things and show it to you. And he says, hey, he will show us Jesus' hairstyle. No. He has said, where I am, you'll be also. So whatever he reveals that of Christ will belong to us. So if he says in, whatever is in, is ours. Because we are also in. Hallelujah. You can't hear this and you want to be wearing scarf to pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not against those who wear scarf. I didn't say you can't hear this and wear scarf. Please. Revelation knowledge. I say you want to pray. Then you want to tie scarf. Somebody has misinformed you. Because you are in. Hallelujah. You get that? Okay, see this. So, why did he say that? He says, the comforter is where? Huh? Who was the one who used the word comforter? It was John. And John used the comforter, or Jesus used, let me put it like this. Jesus used comforter. How many times? John 14, 16, 17. John 14, 26. John 15, 26. And John 16, 7. Who else used comforter? The same John that wrote comforter in his own synoptic. Who did he call comforter? Jesus. 1 John 2:1. If any man sin, we have an advocate. Why didn't he say he has? So you would think that he was talking about someone begging for sin. No, no. We have an advocate with the Father. We think he's saying somebody is in heaven that is there for you. No matter what happens, he's guaranteeing you. No. Go to where comforter was used. The comforter is in. The Father is also in. He's telling you that the man... Okay, let me stop there. Okay. Look at 1 John 1. Let's look at 1 John 1. So you won't have issues. If the comforter is in heaven, Jesus lied. Right? Ah. Hallelujah. By the time you even read 1 John, he said, you are of God. Because greater is he that is in. So by the time, if you are in 2:1, that's why the chapters are funny. And then 2:1, look up. 4:4. In fact, 3:8, you look down. In. 4:4, you look in. You know there's confusion. Hallelujah. The only thing we are supposed to look for or look forward to is the body. And I'll tell you why. Amen. But not today. Look at this. 1 John 1. There is no way these guys did not glean from Paul. No way. All of them. Except James. No. It's not a minus. No, I'm just saying. There's no way. It's obvious John got a hold of the Pauline revelation. I can point out the verses for you one by one. This is Pauline. This one. And John is not going to deny it. Peter was clear enough. At least Peter admitted he read it. No, that he was reading it. Do you understand? That's why none of them, did you discover that in their sermons in the book of Acts, they hardly mention identification. But when the Pauline epistle came upon their soul, you dared not teach growth or conduct without identification. Because Paul never taught imitation, he taught identification. There are two different things. There's no way. How do you want to start? In what way? Because Paul had gone around both the Asian world, and he said, we have heard Paul. We are in. So that's why Peter will say, as newborn babes, that you may grow thereby. Praise God. That's why the term metanese used for discipleship, was it reduced when Paul came in. Where you are, in the discipleship, you are learning to be. Praise God. You are learning to be. If I wasn't used again, except as a verb, or as an, is that an adverb now? In the epistles again. What you have in the epistles is identification. Straight away. You are starting from the end. You are all that he wants you to be. No, that's a typical one. Okay. So that you be all God wants you to be. You all go, there's nothing wrong in saying that he's able, more than able. You may be talking about walking in the spirit, you know, and all that. But the reality of the new creature is that you are all you will ever be. Yes, all. You are not releasing any potential anywhere. You are all you will ever be. 1 John 1. For this life was manifested and we have seen it. And bear witness, 1 John 1:2, and show unto you the eternal life, that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Hallelujah. Which was where? So what did he say was with the Father? Eternal life. Are you there? So 2:3. Our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus. Two or the same? Same. That is, our fellowship with the Father is with his Son Jesus. Are you there? That means we share union. Verse 5. This is the message we have with him. Then God is light and in him is no. And we are in him. Amen. I said we are in him. So by the time you hear that, we have an advocate, a paraclete with the Father. Is he talking about distance or union? That means we have fellowship with the Father. Is that clear? So John 14:16-17 makes sense to us. So what he's saying in 1 John 2:1 is that we have eternal life, right? That if any man sin, we have what? Eternal life with the Father. So what he's teaching in 1 John 2:1 is an unbreakable union. In fact, let's run through 1 John, you see it. 1 John 2:27, the unction, you have the anointing of him abides where? In you. 1 John 3:9, the seed of God abides in you. That means you are in him. 1 John 3:24, he has given you his spirit. 1 John 3:24. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is where? In you. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:16, you are in God. So 1 John 2:27, the anointing abides in you. 3:9, you are in him. 3:24, you are in him. He has given his spirit to you. 4:4, greater is he that is in you. 4:16, you are in God. So What is John's language? You are where? In. And he is in. How can he teach anything else when he says, I am the vine, you are the branches? And John can't say any other thing. Even in your annoyance as an apostle. You know, they look, you are in him. You don't be angry and say, but you are in him. Stop doing, you are in him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, remove the prepositions. It's all Jesus. Insert the prepositions, you have Christianity. So, the prepositions define Christianity. In him. Through him. By him. Every preposition attached with Jesus in the epistles is for us. Every preposition. Let's see a few. Oh my God. Let's look at forgiveness. We'll bust some bubbles shortly. Let's look at forgiveness. I know I mentioned some of this in So Great Salvation 5b, but let's look at forgiveness. Matthew 26. Hallelujah. Where is forgiveness? Forgiveness is an act of God. It's an act of God. Where he pardons a man. And then the man has a feeling of pardon. And he walks away thanking God, the merciful one who has forgiven. But look at what Jesus said, where forgiveness. Matthew 26:28. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Follow that. We've said it many times. It's not God that needed blood. I think you will know that. Where was the work of the blood? Where was the blood applied? Let me use blood so that we won't be confused. In our heart. Right? We know that one now. Luke 24:47. It says, forgiveness of sins in my name. So that word forgiveness is aphesis. Aphesis. Which can be used for release. A release. Write this down. Beyond an action, forgiveness of sins is a gift in a person. So go to 1 John 3:5. Let's read it together. 1 John 3:5. 1 John 3:5. Are you there? Can we take it? 1 John 3:5. Let's read it out. To what? To take away our sins. So he removes. Okay? Just to release. Let's look at that word aphesis, you know, basically. Matthew 26:28. Mark 1:4. John used it. Then Mark 3:29. We'll look at that also. Luke 1:77. And Luke 3:3. Luke 1:77. Yep. And Luke 3:3. Look at Luke 4:18. Very, very key. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach what? The word deliverance is aphesis. To preach a release to the captives. So that means in forgiveness you have a release. So look at Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. Acts 5:31. And Acts 10:43. He's taught as in his name or through him. So, forgiveness is the gift of God in the person of Jesus. It's in him, through him. Now look at Acts 13:38. If you observe, this is just by the way, Paul hardly used that word. Strange. He hardly used it. And I understand why. Look at Acts. Okay, I said Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. See how we taught it. The forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified. So he taught forgiveness as what? Righteousness. So righteousness is more in his teaching. He taught remission of sins as well. But look at this. By the law of Moses. So go to Acts 26, where we shared yesterday, Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes and turn from, notice this, to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. What does he call it? An inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith, which is where? In you. So he calls it a lot. Okay? Now look at his epistles. He used that word just two times. Curious. Very, very curious. Two times. And see how he used it. Paul never used forgiveness of sins as an action from God. No. Look at Ephesians 1:7. Learn something? Learn something? Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have forgiveness of sins in him. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? And translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have what? Redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, the redemption there is a release. So, in two places now, he calls it release. So it's not that forgiveness of sins from what we just read. Is it a continuous thing or once and for all? Okay. It's once and for all, but more importantly, it's found in him. So it's found in him. So more than an action of God, okay, or a repeated action of God, which is the better way to explain it at this point, it's a gift in Christ. Or if we can use this, is the gift of Christ. Christ being the gift.
Follow this. Hebrews 9:22 uses as well. Hebrews 9:22 and Hebrews 10:18. Every time you hear it, it's related to Jesus. And this is unique because Jesus forgave sins in the four Gospels. This is the gift of Christ himself. So notice this. Did you see that in the two instances where we read forgiveness, whether it's Colossians 1:13 and 14 or Ephesians 1:6, 7 and 6, you discover that it's taught as acceptance. So it becomes a position. So Paul, rather than use forgiveness, use more of what? Righteousness. That you are justified, which is a status. So he taught it as righteousness, and that will follow identification. Am I making sense? He called it the gift of righteousness. Okay? The Romans 1:17 calls the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So, let's go back to John. John helped us now. He will convince the world of sin and of what? Righteousness. Who is that righteousness? Where is righteousness found? It is found in you. So, righteousness is found where? In you. Follow this, please. Paul used the word righteousness. Jesus used righteousness 2 times, 9 times, and 9 times, 2 times in John, and in the 2 times he was talking by himself. Paul used righteousness 39 times. Big deal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Big deal. 39 times. And you find the bulk of it in Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5, and Romans 10. He says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So Romans 3, 4, 5, and Romans 10. Key places. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he used it 9 times. Look at the key part. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Go there. You will like it. So, a better word to explain forgiveness in Christ is to say what? Righteousness. First Corinthians 1:30. Let's see it. Let's read it together. Of him are you where? You are where? Don't forget that word. The prepositions explain it. Where are we? Who was, of God was made unto us what? So righteousness is a person. Or is in a person. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now if he now says, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? Where? Does it make sense? So he taught righteousness as a position. 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship are darkness with light? Righteousness with unrighteousness. So if you were Paul, if you are Pauline, you'll be stronger on what? Righteousness. Are you there? Galatians, he used it 4 times. A key place is Galatians 3:6.
In Ephesians, three times. A key place, Ephesians 4:24. Look at Ephesians 4:24. So he taught righteousness as a gift and righteousness as a nature. Amen. Ephesians 4:24. Are you there? Now let's read it. Which after God is created, so the new man is created in righteousness. Hallelujah. Very good. Philippians asks it four times. Particularly Philippians 3:9. Then you have, just run through this quickly. 1 Timothy 6:11. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 4:8. I'll take it again. 1 Timothy 6:11. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 4:8. And Titus 3:5. The book of Hebrews has it seven times. With only Hebrews 1:8 different. Seven times. With only Hebrews 1:8 different. James has it three times. James, three times. Peter has it four times. Pay attention to 1 Peter 2:24. Peter has it four times. Pay attention to 1 Peter 2:24. John has it three times. So pay attention to John, 1 John 3:7. And 1 John 3:10. I'll take it again. Hebrews has it seven times. But Hebrews 1:8 is different. So don't classify it. Just say that for your study. James has it three times. Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, is the third Peter said, has it four times. But pay attention to 1 Peter 2:24. John has it three times. But pay attention to 1 John 3, verse 7 and 1 John 3, verse 10. So Paul taught righteousness as who we are. Or what we have. The same way, John, in John 1:17, says the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus. Ginomai exists as Jesus. Let's now run through something quickly. That was fast. Did you notice that? Only one person, just one, out of the apostles, I will leave out the book of Hebrews in this one. Only one person called the believer his son. John called us, when you see 1 John 3:1, what manner of Lord the Father has bestowed upon them, we call it technon. It means to be born of someone. Seed. Birth. John, you see 1 John 3:1. And 3:2. Technon. But you know the funny thing? Look at this. He has another, there's another word used as Oios. Oios is like an heir. An heir is someone who owns all things. Okay? Or is in your position. John used it exclusively for Jesus. Exclusively. Exclusively, exclusively. But, it's okay. He told us that we have a spirit, 1 John 3:24. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you. In you. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we. What we are, he's not saying. You called him son, you called us technon. No, don't forget, children doesn't mean small, no. It just means you are born. It puts a slight variation. But within the letter again, it puts identification. As he, so are we. Who are we? Then it says, he that has the son. You have tried. Paul, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the holies of God. The same, what he called Jesus to God is what he called us. You know, it's talking about eyewitness. He now said, in case you are thinking, he's talking imitation. You know, some people are talking, say, well, how you know whether you are a son, whether you are led. In fact, a televangelist said that if you have the inward witness, you are a child, you are a children. Leading is sons. Calm down. Leading is you are led from the minute you are taken out of the flesh, you are a son. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are heirs. He now says, we have not received. In case you think he's talking about imitation, say we have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear. But he calls it utesia, the Spirit of sonship. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. So it's not imitation. Are you there? It's identification. In case you thought that he was just playing with his pen, in Galatians 4:4-5, God, he said, you are no longer sons, but God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Kutesia. In case you thought that, well, he just said that in Galatia, he said that in Rome, in Ephesians. He said he has adopted us as sons through Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews, obviously a follower of Paul, said he has brought many sons to glory. Hallelujah. So we are not just born of God. We are just like Jesus. In glory. We are sons. Hallelujah. We are sons today. And that is how the Pauline revelation unveils Christ. So, he unveils the unseen Christ by unveiling the believer. He unveils the unseen God by unveiling Christ. Good evening. See you tomorrow, 6:30.